Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
Franklin, there's no one like you. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Pastor Daniel Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis. Listen, guys, we're just excited about today's broadcast. We have with us none other than Apostle Peter Joseph will be with us on this morning on our Man of Money broadcast. Listen, guys, call a friend, call a neighbor, tell them that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. Please remember to share that number. The number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak with the guest, or if you guys want prayer, or just want to share how the broadcast is blessing you. We will be excited to hear from you on this morning. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 for prayer, or if you guys just want to listen in, we will be glad to have you guys listen in on this morning. But listen, guys, before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer. Let us talk to the Lord on this morning before we get this broadcast started. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you right now for this opportunity to come before you, Father God, in prayer. Our prayer this morning, God, is that you would move by your power, Father, and that you would move by your strength. God, touch, God, only like you know how. God, move in this broadcast. God, we decrease that you may increase. Father, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we pray for the ones that are under the sound of our voices. God, we pray for a word of change, a word of shift, and a word of power. God, that as they touch, as the word touch their ears, God, we ask that it would penetrate their hearts. God, clear, God, whatever chaos is in their minds, God. God, silence the noisome pestilence. God, and remove whatever it is on their hearts that's keeping them from receiving the word on this morning. God, we pray this prayer in the mighty and rich and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our Keeper, our King, and our Watchman over our soul. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Again, guys, we thank you guys for tuning in. And we also want to make sure that we acknowledge those countries that are listening in. Guys, we thank you for listening in, partnering up with us every morning that you guys come on to the broadcast and listen in. All of our missionaries, all of our overseas pastors that are connected with us and that you guys are tuning in and being a part of today's broadcast, we thank you so very much. We want to make sure to let you guys know that we are praying for you. We know that the job of the apostle, we know the job of the pastor, the job of the missionary is not an easy job, especially in those rural countries where the taskmasters do everything in their power to keep you from being able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But know that your work is not in vain. We thank you for putting your hand to the plow and that you're not taking your hand down. And you guys are still pushing and you guys are still going and you guys are still standing on the name of Jesus and on the word of God. And you're preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ that souls may come to know who Jesus is. And we thank you guys for that. And our prayer is that you will continue to do that. Our prayer is that you will continue to do that. Do not lose hope in the fight. Amen. Do not lose hope in the fight. Know that you have your brothers and sisters that right here praying for you. And we are interceding for you. The Bible says where one put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight, and we're here with you right now, calling on the name of the Lord, making sure that we're standing in the stead with you, and calling on Jesus' name that you guys may be able to move forward in the work of the Lord. Amen? So we want to make sure that we acknowledge you guys on this morning. We want to make sure that we acknowledge you guys on this morning. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Kenya. We have Ghana. We have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Germany, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, and we have Mexico. Thank you guys again for continuing to work the work of him that has sent you while it is day. For when night cometh, no man can work. We thank you guys for tuning in and continuing to partner up with us on this morning. Listen, guys. We also want to make sure to let you guys know that we're here 5 days a week. We have our Man Up Monday broadcast what you guys are listening to today. We also have our Testimony Tuesday, our Wisdom and Worship Wednesday. We have our Women's Day Thursday, and then we have our Freestyle Friday broadcast. We thank you guys for continuing to tune in and be a part of what God is doing. Our prayer is that something is said or done on the broadcast this morning that will push you to your purpose and drive you to your destiny is our prayer. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We forgot. We want to make sure that we share our scripture for this morning. Our scripture for this morning is Philippians 4 and 8 tells us this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's our scripture for you this morning. Whatever you're going through this morning, I want you to change your thought pattern. Think on these things. Think on the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. I promise you that if you just think back, Just take five seconds and just think back. Think back to when you was in your most detrimental time, when you was in your most difficult time, when you was in your most hardest time. Just think back. Think back, and I guarantee you, you'll have a praise down on the inside. You know, I sit back, and sometimes I get weary in my well-doing. I get weary in my fight, and I begin to think on the things of Jesus and how he shifted some things, how he's made the enemy my building block instead of my stumbling block. How he's made my enemies that came against me one way and made them flee seven different ways. I just start thinking about it. And as I begin to think about how good he is, Lord God, I tell you there's a praise that shifts down on the inside of me that gives me that push, that gives me that drive. Let me know that no matter what the enemy may have presented on the day, that if I just think about how good my God is, my God today, I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, when you think on that, I know that he'll be able to move by his power and by his strength, and he'll give you that push that you need. He'll give you that zeal that you need. He'll give you just what you need. He'll drop right in your spirit exactly what you need so you can keep on going and keep on running. And keep on pushing. And watch this here. Your walk, somebody else is watching. I promise you, if you start shouting, start praising, you're going to encourage somebody else. Amen? Amen. That's our little soapbox moment that we wanted to share with you all this morning. That's our soapbox moment we wanted to share with you this morning. Listen, guys, we're going to take a really quick musical break. And listen, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We'll be right back.
Your hand holding me. How could I live without you? I could not see. Lord, what would I do in life, and where would I go? Oh my, how would I handle things? All that
I'm from the very start. You know my heart. Everybody, just say. Gotta mean it from your heart.
Everybody.
churches. That's the churches.
Church, say amen. A Marvin Winans and an Andre Crouch collaboration. I think that was one of the best songs that came out that year. Listen, guys, we cannot hold the man of God any longer. We have with us none other than Apostle Pierre Joseph. He is on the line. Listen, I'm telling you now, buckle up. Get your seatbelts, get your seatbelts, get your cup of coffee, get your pens, get your paper, as my wife say, and get ready for a word of shift on this morning. We have the man of God with us. We're not gonna prolong the time. We just want the word on this morning. So I present to some and introduce to the others none other than the man of God, Apostle Pierre Joseph. Apostle, are you there?
I am here. Good morning. Good morning, sir. Thank you, Apostle Douglas, for the invitation. Thank you for the opportunity to join this worldwide network. I thank God because he is not just good sometimes. Somebody say he good all the time. And we are excited about what God is about to do and what he is doing in this land, especially here on this Man Up Monday. I am privileged to join the Worldwide Gospel Connection and for this time and moment. And I ask all of you that are around the world, if you would just bear with me, give me a few minutes. And I promise you one thing, that I'm going to only tell you what God gives me to tell you. And I'm only going to talk about what God gives me to talk about. And hopefully, prayerfully, after that, you have will have received a word of encouragement, a word that will lift you not just for today, but beyond. But we are going to concentrate on this day. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. And this is what I am endeavoring to do on this Man Up Monday. I'm excited to be a part of this. And I thank Pastor Douglas, Apostle Douglas, once again for this invitation. And all of you that are around the world, I just thank God for you. In the midst of the things that we have been going through collectively this last year with the pandemic, with the coronavirus, what I come to find out that we're all in this together, and we're all helpers of one another. And some of you have lost loved ones. I know I have due to the virus and just due to life in general. But it's time for us to strap on our big boy clothes. As the Bible says, gird up your loins, put on the whole armor of God, because we are in a time, we're in a moment where we can truly make a difference in this land. We can make a difference wherever you are. There can be a difference made because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are not just a body, but you are embodied and empowered by the word of God, and we want to make sure that we are being effective witnesses in this last and evil day. And I just want to share some things with you on this morning. I've been up since 3:30 a.m. Central Time here in the U.S., thinking about and praying about and asking God what it is that he would have me to discuss and to go over for his people, for wherever you are. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's 1 million. We all need God to make a difference in our lives. And there is one thing that has been with me for a while. I've been discussing this, and God's been blessing here at the HD Center. I am the apostle and founder of the Holiness and Deliverance Center here in Houston, Texas, where my wife, Pastor Beverly Joseph, is my co-captain. She helps me tremendously, and she leads tremendously. And we are in a different phase in ministry. This is, you know, we're going beyond the brick and mortar. We are more interested in reaching the masses instead of just the few. And this opportunity here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection allows us to do that even more and to connect with blessed and influential brethren such as Apostle Douglas. But I was thinking and I was praying, and when I got the invitation, I said, oh, God, what is it that you would have me to speak to your people about? And this morning I got up, when I got up and I opened my laptop to all of my different Bible scriptures and all of my different texts, came across this one that just popped. It was the first thing that popped on my screen, as a matter of fact. And I'm going to ask you the same thing that it asked me. Just who are you? Just who are you? When we are faced with such calamitous situations as we are faced with in this day and time, just who are you? Are you going to be one that withers and falls to the whims and the tricks of the enemy? Are you one that's going to go by what everybody else says about you? Who are you? Are you truly a child of God, or are you a child of the moment? Let me take that back again. I'm going to ask you that question again for those of you that are in the balcony listening to me. Are you a child of God, or are you a child of the moment? Just who are you? Are you who others say you are? Are you someone who people at school say you are? Are you someone that the people at your job, in your workplace, in your business, are you who they say you are? Are you who society says you are? Black, white, brown, African American, Anglo, Hispanic, Spaniard, whatever, German, French, African, are you who society says you are? Here's the most important thing. Are you who you think you are? Really, the question I have for you this morning, just who are you? I think most of us would look at this and we think we got it all wrong about who we are. We've got it all wrong about what people say about us. But our scriptural text will come from the book of Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 20. I'm going to get into that. I'm not going to get all the way into it. But before I do go any further, I do want to pray God's blessings upon the word that's going to come out of my mouth, if you don't mind. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you word my mouth with your wisdom. Give me what to say at this time to your people. God, I decrease that you may increase. Let the blood of Jesus, the resurrected Savior, and the Holy Ghost be what is heard from the mouth of me, your servant, on today. I bind every fleshly desire. I bind every fleshly thought. God, I pray right now that you elevate our mind, elevate our thoughts towards you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God and Redeemer, I decree and declare that every word that is spoken is meat to the eater of it, the hearer of it, and the doer of it. That God, that you are elevating us right now. You're lifting us out of the sin and shame that we find ourselves in because we are encased in this fleshly body. God, let this flesh die that your spirit may reign supreme in our life. I decree and declare a blessing upon those that are hearing. I decree and declare a blessing upon those that are sharing. I decree and declare a blessing upon us, God, that are carriers of your gospel, because we need you now more than ever. We need you now, God, to lift up our hung down heads and, God, give strength to our bodies. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I decree and declare a blessing upon us in Jesus' name, because I know this, that your will will never take us where your grace cannot keep us. And it is so, and it cannot be otherwise. In Jesus' name, we say thank God, amen and amen. So Colossians, the second chapter, the 6th through the 20th verse, if you don't mind, I'm going to read for you these particular passages of Scripture out of my modern King James Version. I'll dip between the King James Version and the Contemporary English Version just so we can have clarity. But it says here in Colossians 2 and 6 that we are alive in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead. Verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having stripped rulers and authorities, he made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16 says, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or in respect or of a feast or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no one defraud you, delighting in humility and worship of the angels, intruding into things which he hath not seen, without a cause, being vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, for whom all the body, having been supplied through the joints and bands, and having been joined together, will grow with the growth of God. Finally, verse 20 says, if then you died with Christ from the elements of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? I read to you Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 20. If we were to finish this out, verses 21 through 23 says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which things are all for corruption in the using, according to the commands and doctrines of men. These things indeed have a reputation of wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and unsparing severity of the body, but are not of any value for the satisfying of the flesh. Listen, who are you? Just who are you? Those of you that are listening and under the sound of my voice, I will beg to ask you a question. Are you caught up in the Christianity, or are you caught up in the following? Are you caught up in being Christ-like, or are you caught up in following everything the Lord did? There's a difference between a Christian in today's society and a disciple. I've been saying this for years. Amen. To be Christian means to be Christ-like, but a disciple is a devout follower. You're going to do what the master tells you to do. You're going to go where the master tells you to go. You're going to follow what the teacher tells you to do. You are a disciple. You are disciplined in what you are doing. And a disciplined, amen, understands that you have to let go of who you think you are and follow what God has commanded you to do. Now, society would have said, and society and the church puts this aura around us that we have to do things a certain way. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, I need you to understand that as you're listening to my voice, that you need to seek God and ask him for yourself and follow Jesus as an example for yourself. What is it, God, that you would have me to do? How would you have me to speak? How would you have me to address this world, this nation? How would you have me to address my family, my friends? How would you have me? Because sometimes what happens is that we are caught up in who people say that we are and who that we think people want us to be and have not asked the master, who am I to you? Who am I to you, God? Who am I to you? What do I mean to you? Not the generic, oh, God loves everybody. No. God, I need you to tell me and show me how much you love me and what it is that you need from me. Because, listen, when I stand before you, I'm not going to be asked about the nations. I'm not going to be asked about my family. I'm not going to be asked about my friends. I'm going to be asked that, who do you say that I am? So in that definition, we need to make sure that we know who we are. We need to make sure that it's not, we are not defined by the public. We have had people characterize us for so long, we're now starting to believe that characterization. We've compared ourselves to others and come up short. We've defined ourselves at less. We still hear the words that might have been said yesterday or maybe many years ago, and we now are starting to believe that they are right. That's who we are. That's what we are. Oh, you good for nothing. Yeah, because my life hadn't turned out the way I think it should be, so I might not be good for nothing. Oh, you know, you have a bad understanding. Well, listen, when you start to let other people's words define you and you don't research who you are in God for yourself, you let other people dictate your salvation. You let other people dictate your relationship with God. You let your parents, you let your 40, it's good to love your parents. The Bible says we should love our parents. Honor them, as a matter of fact. But the fact of the matter is that we should grow continually, passing down new information to the next generation. See, what was good for my mother and father is no longer just good enough for me. Oh, let me go back, because I know there's some people right there that said, no, if it was good enough for my mama, it's good enough for me. Now, God is good all the time. But the same thing it took for your parents to be saved is not the same thing it's going to take for you to be saved. Not the same thing it's going to take for your children to be saved. The same thing it took for Peter, James, and John to be saved is not the same thing it's going to take for you to be saved. Because why? There are different circumstances. There are different occurrences happening in your life. There is nothing new under the sun, but it's something new happening in your life every single day. So listen, I tell people this all the time. When the Bible was written, there was no Fortune 500 company. There was no ITA. There was no iPhones or Samsung Galaxies. They didn't have mass communication. They didn't have the radio, the Worldwide Gospel Network. They didn't have those things at their disposal. They didn't have those things that came into their lives. So listen, we are living under a different dispensation now, so we cannot allow our past to define who we are today. I'm talking to the church folks now. I ain't even talking to the sinners. The Bible was written for the children of God. Amen. And very few lessons were written by the sinners. It was written to help us to keep from sinning. Let me help you out there. So when we look at this here, we are trying to define ourselves by our parents' religion. Oh, that's how they did it in the old days. Well, in the old days, they didn't have the things we're facing with. So God, give me this day. Oh, don't quote the scripture if you're not going to use it. Don't quote the scripture if you're not going to apply it. If it's a give me this day, you are living on yesterday's salvation, and you're failing because you are defining yourself by yesterday. Oh, come on, somebody. You're defining yourself by what happened on yesterday. When the scripture clearly says, give us this day our daily bread, and that's how God is going to bless you. You're going to need to ask him, God, I need to be defined this day. I need you to show me who I am this day. Because the world comes constantly, my flesh constantly, I keep running into the same issues, running into the same problems. I need to know how I am. In the years that I've been preaching, it's a growing trend that's been happening, even in my own life. And I talk to other people that say they are Christians who have it happening in their lives. I've suffered from it, and many of you have suffered from it. I'm going to be finishing a little bit. It's called Christian low self-esteem. I call it a discipleship issue. A discipleship issue because you're looking to be defined by your religion. And religion is the worst thing that could have happened to man. Religion has caused separation in the church. Yes, it has. Religion has caused us to sit there and try to define who can and who can't get into heaven. Religion has caused us to look and look down upon each other because we are of different races and we are of different backgrounds. Religion has done that. Amen. But a disciple sees past religion. As I was reading the scripture, I began to look at and begin to imagine in my mind and remember, begin to go back of all the different things I've read in history about the different religions that serve different gods and things of that nature. Amen. We know that there's one true and living God because he's been the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same forevermore. Where Aphrodite may have died out and Hercules and Apollo, they all died out, but God has been there and he has never changed. Jesus never failed. He's been the only man in documented history, amen, that we have in documentation that did exactly what he said he was going to do. He was born, amen, in the manger. That doesn't mean he was poor. He was born there. He was crucified on the cross. He said, I'm going to get up in 3 days. He's the only man in history that we have documented proof throughout all your historical documentation, throughout all your religions. But this God got up and said what he said, what he was going to do, and he accomplished it. So when I say this, who are we in God? Just who are you? That's the problems that come up when we try to define ourselves by everybody else. You belong to Jesus, but you feel like you've failed it. These are some symptoms that we are experiencing as disciples of Christ. You get afraid to have a good time because other Christians look at you and say, you ain't supposed to be doing that. So, see, I might get off on a tangent because, amen, it's a shame that our Christianity has caused us to be the religion of what you can't do instead of telling you all the things you can do. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. No, I don't want to go out on no drug binge. I don't want to go out on no alcohol binge. I don't want to do all those things. I don't need to go to the club to have a good time. But listen, that is an enjoyment to being saved. That is an excitement to being a child of God. There is an excitement in knowing that I am above and not beneath. I am a lender and not a borrower. It's an excitement in knowing that whatever I put my hands to do, God will bless it when I stay in his will. The Bible says he'll keep you in perfect peace, all whose mind is stayed on him. When you have your mind stayed on God, then there is nothing that is impossible for you to accomplish. You don't have to live beneath your means. You just live because it doesn't mean anything if you have a lot of money. It doesn't mean anything if you have nice clothes and a nice home. That's just part of the process. That's just part of being a child of God that goes along with the territory. It's what I'm supposed to have. It's what I'm supposed to be. It doesn't define me. It just shows that the more I follow Christ, the more blessed I become. And the blessings begin to show and the evidence begin to show that I am a child of the Most High King. So I will have royal things, but the royal things don't define me. I'm not more saved because I live in a $1 million house. I'm not more saved because I drive a Rolls Royce. That doesn't make me more saved. All that does is says I'm at a different level of understanding of who I am, and I need all my brothers and sisters to understand I don't need to be impoverished in order to claim the salvation. Not who we are. Let me stop right here and say this. How is it that we that are saved, that are children of God, keep denying the royalty of God? How is it that we accept poverty as an example of salvation when there is nothing scripturally to back that up? You can't find a scripture where it tells you that a child of God is supposed to live impoverished. The poor will be with us always. But we are supposed to be children of God. How can we show the world a difference if we have no means to do so? I'm going to stop right there. How can we show the world? Why would you come out of your mouth and say, I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and doubt that he can give you fine things, and those fine things will define you? Are your clothes who you say you are? See, we've let the church There's a difference between salvation and children of God in the church. The church can mean many different things. The church crucified Jesus. Disciples, the followers of God, knew exactly what's going on. See, we get caught up in our religion. Church of God in Christ, Jesus only, never die, Catholic, Baptist, non-denominational. We get caught up in our reformations so easily, and you let that define you. But that's not what should define you. So what should define you is, as we look in Colossians, don't let these traditions of the church keep you from being all that God would have you to be. Don't let the confinement of your title, you know, you want to rush to get a title. I'm apostle, I'm prophet, I'm pastor. All of those titles are just different avenues of servitude. So don't get caught up in it. In our dispensation of the gospel, the apostles and the pastors and the bishops, we affix some type of royalty to them, when all in all actuality is that's just a higher level of service that you must serve in the kingdom. To be an apostle is not some great thing where people should come and kowtow to you and you know, to honor, carry your briefcase and bring your water and all that kind of good stuff in the fancy glass. That doesn't mean anything. All that means is you got to serve harder at a different level. You serve harder at a different level. Let that sizzle. Let that matriculate in your mind for all of you that get caught up in your titles. Oh, I'm apostle this and I'm bishop this. All that simply means is that you have more responsibility in the kingdom and you have to serve harder. So be careful of what the title you try to ascribe to yourself. You better make sure God called you to the apostleship, or God called you to pastor, and God called you to prophet and evangelist. Of course, we know bishop is a sought title. That means you're going to be over many different things. But guess what? That's something you seek. That's something you better serve. You better serve if you've never served before. It's not kind of be babied and kowtowed to. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's not the title. If you think that's who you are, you're highly mistaken. You're highly mistaken, because those titles mean that you got to serve harder. You got to serve harder. So if you're not willing to do that, you need to drop your title. If you're not willing to humble yourself even more, as an apostle, I have to humble myself even more and serve people harder. And in more diverse ways do I become a servant. It's not for me to be catered to. It's for me to work harder. It's for you to work harder. So you better understand that. You need to understand when you define, and that's where it's good, just who are you? Oh, you rush to get the title, but you don't understand the recompense. You don't understand the responsibility of the title. I'm hitting on some nerves there. I already feel it. That's all right. You only have to listen to me for a few more minutes. I'm going to be out your way. You belong to Jesus. Sometimes we have symptoms that tell us other things. The world says you're a weak person needing a prop, and you feel weak, and you go through some hard times. You just know God doesn't care about you anymore. That's a symptom of not knowing who you are. Walk around hopeless, waiting on God to take you home. Lord, when you gonna take me home? Why will you take you home if you're not prepared for it? God knows when you're ready. It's up to you to be ready, to get ready. Stop asking him, Lord, when you taking me out of here? He gonna take you out of here at the best. I've said this for years. The day you die is your best day. That's the day God says you can't get any better, and I won't let you get any worse. Even the sinner, his love for the sinner says, I won't let you condemn yourself anymore. I'm gonna take you out of here. Oh, y'all gotta catch that. You gotta catch that. The more you serve God, the day you die, whatever day that is, that's the day God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I can't let you be exposed to this stuff anymore. That's your best day. So you have to live until you die. You have to serve until you die. That's when God says it's enough. We can't mope through life. We can't drag around defeated. We can't float in and out of churches because we never feel like we're going to be good enough to stick around anymore. You can't be a church hopper. We're just nobody, and nobody likes us. Nobody's. You can't be a nobody. You can't feel that way about yourself. We're going to find out who we really are. We have to do that. And who we really are is a long way from who you think you are. Let me say that again. Who we really are is a long way from who we think we are. So when you understand that you're a child of the King, you have to start thinking. So my ways are not your ways. God said my thoughts are not your thoughts. So we have to start thinking or setting our affection on those things that are above. We have to make sure that we're walking in God. Is there any dead among us? We get told all kinds of things. If you're gonna be somebody, you have to do this. You have to look this way. You have to dress like this. You have to have this money. You have to do. Those are things that people use to define us. The more comfortable you get in your salvation, the more you understand the things you have don't define you. It's just evidence that you're going to a different place. I'm going to tell you something. God just blessed me. I just moved into my brand new house, but it's not the evidence. It's not the thing that defines me. It's just you haven't seen the last 17 years or 14 years when I was moving from house to house. You know, you hadn't seen it. If you would have saw the struggle and you see the house now, you say, oh, man, that preacher, it's been 14 years since I lost my first house. Now, I finally, 14 years later, I stepped into another brand new house built from the ground up. Thank the Lord. I give God praise, but that doesn't define me. That's not who I am. That's just a symptom or the evidence of me trusting God throughout the process, never losing hope that I am who all God said that I am, and in spite of myself, I ain't saying other people, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my misgivings, God says, I'm going to raise you up. And when I caught hold to that vision, when I caught hold to that saying that I am who God said I am, things start happening in my life that brought me to this point. And it's just the beginning. And when I leave here, I have to leave a legacy that says, when you saw Apostle Joseph, you saw somebody that came from the bottom of salvation, not from sin, but the bottom of salvation, and got out of his own way and found out who God said that he was and started walking in it, not walking according to the definition of the church, but walking according to the definition of God. And if I am a child of the King, I should have royal things, but the things are the things that are not those things that define me, but it's just a symptom or the evidence that I'm doing what God would have me to do, and I'm on my way to a better place. You want to make it to heaven, but you don't have heavenly things down here. You don't experience and you don't take joy in the simple fact of knowing I'm a child of the King. What princely or what royal child do you know that suffers being broke? I'll wait. Oh yeah, they may not live in a palace, but they're still children of the King. You still need to address them. When you take on this whole arm of God, when you say I am a child of God, you are saying that I am taking on the responsibility of being royalty. I can't settle for just anything. I won't settle for anything. I won't take down for anything, but I will walk as one as with authority. I will walk as one that's walking in the power of God. Here's the thing. Let me tell you, since you want to be a Christian, Christ-like, but I'm going to be a disciple. Amen. You don't see Jesus flaunting his wealth because he didn't have to. Amen. Everything he touched was blessed. Everything that was around him was blessed. Everyone that was around him had plenty. Everyone that was around him didn't have to suffer anything. Why? Because he knew he didn't have to walk around and flash his money. He already knew money. As a matter of fact, he said, listen, when they came to ask him for taxes, they go look in the fish mouth and get the taxes for you and me. That's wealth right there. That's not poor and broke. That's not living hand to mouth, but that's not flaunting anything either. When he said it's time to eat, guess what? He sat down with the folks and he said, listen, I'm going to bless these two fish and five barley loaves, what other people would call
poverty, God called a blessing, and he fed the multitude, and they had remaining, they had more leftovers than they could ever count. 7 baskets full, they had leftover 2. That means I am walking according to the will of God, and everything I touch, I'm blessed. That's who I am. And when you start realizing that, and I've got one more minute, I've got to get out of here. When you start realizing that, you'll start realizing that, listen, I'm not going to be who my mother and father said I am. I'm not going to be what the church says I am. I'm going to be what God says that I am. I'm going to hold on to the bloodstained banner. I'm going to make sure that I walk through and walk in the promises of God. I'm going to make sure that my old self is cast away. That sinful, nasty, dirty me has died away. I'm going to make sure that the forgiven, complete, and loved me came, amen, and came out that tomb just like Jesus did. I'm going to make sure that you understand that I'm truly alive, that I walk with an advantage. My life is an advantage. I'm going to make sure you understand that I'm living what I'm meant to be because I'm fully aware that God is residing in me. I'm going to make sure that you have an understand that I have the opportunity, and I'm showing you that all God intends for me to be is going to be blessed. I'm going to show you that I'm walking in freedom. I'm older now. I'm going to show you that I'm free from trying to live up to your examples and your standards. I'm going to show you that I'm free from trying to perform to earn God's favor. I'm just going to walk in his favor. I don't have to try to earn it. I'm just going to walk in it. Why? Because I know I'm a child of God. If I take you back, does anybody have to prove who their mother and father is? No. You just know who your mother and father is, and you walk in it. Even if you are adopted, you know the person that took care of you. You know the person that walked with you. You know the person that lifted you up. I'm free from the condemnation of sin and shame. I'm free from living a sinful life. I'm free to love, amen, because all that God called me to be, I'm directly connected to Jesus. I enjoy the life that Jesus has given me. I know that God and Christ have set me free. If that's who I am, then why do I live beneath my privilege? Why do I live beneath my privilege? You got to renounce all other opinions of you. You got to tell God, I'm not going to let others take away who I really am in you. I'm going to stand firm, as 1 Peter 5:8-9 says. I'm going to stand firm against him and tell him, you lying. Your lying to me is over. That's what I'm going to tell the devil. That's what I'm going to tell my flesh. Your lying to me is over. I'm not listening to you anymore. Finally, you're going to repent. For those of you that are wondering, you got to repent. Stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry for ever doubting that you made me, for ever walking as if I'm not your child. I'm going to live my complete life, my new full life, in the blessings and the grace of God that has given it to me. And it is so, and it cannot be otherwise. As I leave you, and I leave every sermon with this, and I pray this because God gave this to me, the will of the Lord will never take you, but the grace of God cannot keep you. And it is so, and it cannot be otherwise. I thank you for this time. I thank you, Apostle Douglas, for allowing me this window into the worldwide gospel connection. And I pray that what was said today was a blessing to your life. Hope to hear from you again. And I know that God's doing great things for those that know exactly who they are. God bless you. God keep you. It's my prayer. I'm Apostle Peter Joseph here in Houston, Texas. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
My God, today, are you a child of God or are you a child of the moment? I'm telling you, man, that is, if they don't believe it, they need to believe it. That is the message for the millennium. That's the message for the millennium. We are so caught up in the title. We get so caught up in the position. We get so caught up in the moment of
what's being said. Like you were saying, we getting the water brought to us. We got somebody bringing our briefcases and all this other stuff. And don't realize that the title requires the work. The title requires the work. And if we ain't working it, we're in a world of trouble. We're in a world of trouble. Man of God, listen, I am just excited about what God has for you to share with the body on this morning. I am so blessed by just, man, just this word that you shared with the people. I'm telling you that you shifted some people. You shifted some people on this morning. You shifted some people on this morning. I am sitting here and I'm just going in my mind and I'm just saying to myself, my God, what a word, what a word, what a word that you shared on this morning. We're so blessed to have apostles like you that are willing to speak life to people, man. And I'm telling you today, that's what you did today. You spoke life to a whole lot of folk that was otherwise trying to find their way and didn't know what direction to go in. This word that you spoke today gave them their direction. You gave them their direction on this morning. And we're just so honored to have you aboard. We're so honored to have you come on and to share the word. Now, listen, Doc, please let the people know how to get in contact with you, your service times, where you guys are, and just give them as much information about you as possible, Doc.
Well, I appreciate God for once again the opportunity. And as I said earlier, we've shifted. I don't have a brick and mortar place anymore. I had a building that I refurnished and everything. And God allowed that, you know, it hurt me at the time that we lost the building. But God said, I didn't call you for the building. I called you to speak worldwide. I have an office. We have offices where we do ministry out of in the North Houston area, 440 Benmar, Suite 1088 is the number. It's the Holiness Deliverance Center Virtual Solutions. We service people and take care of people. I teach people the basics of God through finance. I'm a finance advisor. I teach Forex trading. My wife, currently here in the U.S., we help people get the paycheck protection loans. I also teach and show people different ways in which you can be blessed financially through investing in the most important asset that you have. In you. I'm going to say this, Apostle, and this may hurt a lot of people's feelings. We've had church backwards for years. As a matter of fact, we've had church backwards for the last century and a half, as to where we've put going to church, being in a church building first and not taking care of our families. I'm going to say that again. We got to concentrate on our family. So the very first thing, if you read any scripture, you go along any scriptural text, the family was the first thing taken care of. We've neglected our wives and our children, our husbands, in a pursuit of evangelism and pastoring. And we've caused a great divide. And so if you want to get in contact with me, I go into detail. And we teach about how to really invest in yourself and your family. And then you can be able to spread abroad the gospel of Jesus Christ because you have an example. So we do that in my office, 440 Benmar, Houston, Texas, 77060, if you want to send correspondence. I'm not asking for donations. My job is to teach you how to acquire wealth, not for me to ask you for wealth. Now, I will say this. For those of you that are on, I need you to sow into this ministry. I'm not bereft of – I need you to sow into this ministry because – my brother here cannot do this alone, so it's to go to the Cash App and give to WGC 2020. Amen. Your donations of $5, $10, $20, $30, $100, $150. I never tell people how much to give, but listen, he cannot continue this ministry alone. And so those of you that have enjoyed Apostle Douglas's work, please donate to him. give an offering, whatever it is, blessing. I won't be somebody that just says it and not do it itself. He'll receive my cash up here in just a second. But I believe in supporting and building the home and making sure the home is blessed, and then the ministry can be blessed. And so that's what we do, my wife and I, at 440 Benmar, Suite 1088, Houston, Texas, 77060. You can send your correspondence, send your questions. Call us and ask us. The number there is 281-529-6453, I'm sorry. If you're in need of help, you're a small business or a sole proprietorship, and you're trying to take advantage of the Paycheck Protection Program, we can help you there. I don't promise anybody any money. I just promise we're going to work hard to help you try to get it and go from there. So that's just a little bit about what the Holiness and Deliverance Center does now. I still go out and I preach, just like this morning. I still teach wherever I can over the pulpit, and we are currently waiting on the next assignment God has for us in the physical building. But let me just tell you something, Apostle. I'm not rushing it. I've been preaching for going on 33 years. I have had enough of just the brick and mortar. I enjoy this medium. We have social media. We have the internet. We have the radio. I believe I can reach more people this way. And then when God opens up that door for me again to reopen the church where you can come to the physical address, then that's what we'll do. But for right now, I want to make sure that your programs and other programs that are doing something effective for the community are taken care of. So that's my prayer, and that's the work I do. I teach finance. I teach financial responsibility. A lot of people are trying to be rich instead of trying to be wealthy. I'll let that wait in your mind. Like, you're trying to be rich, but you're not trying to be wealthy. Wealth cannot be gotten rid of. Wealth is a generational thing. It's passed on from generation to generation. Rich, you can be rich one moment and gone the next, but wealthy lasts forever. And so we want to teach you how to be wealthy, healthy, wealthy, and saved in this these last times. So God bless you. God keep you as our prayer. Please reach out. Please go and donate to WGC 2020, $WGC 2020, and be a blessing to Pastor Douglas and the efforts that he's doing to bring you Man Up Monday, amen, and all the different programs that he has 5 days a week, and we appreciate the opportunity. God bless you.
Amen, amen. We are in that same place, Doc, where we are we're seeking God for a building, but we are in that same, me and you have that same mind frame. The church was never meant to be inside of a building anyway. If you look at the Old Testament, wherever they went, the tabernacle went. And wherever they stopped at, that's where they had church at. And that's the mentality that I think that the body of Christ needs to get back into. We need to realize that the church goes beyond the four walls. And we've gotten so comfortable with being inside the four walls and being served instead of being a server. It was never meant for the church. It was never meant for the preacher to be served. It was always meant for him to serve this, the people. And I say this with all humility in my heart and in my mind, that they call my wife and myself, they call us the Bunny and Clyde in Christ. Because we'll pull up on you in a minute, man, and we'll pray for you. We keep oil in the car. We keep anointed oil in the car. We keep a prayer shawl in the car. Because you never can tell when your opportunity or your chance to serve. We're firm believers. And whatever your hands find to do, do that. And do it to the best of your ability. Do it with your whole heart and your whole mind. Servitude goes beyond everything. And that's what I hear in you, man. It is about
It's about ministry for you. You don't have to have a building to minister. You don't have to have a building to put. We're looking for a building for the broadcast because God has shown us how to reach the masses in a way to where he's saying, I want you, you can have service in here if you want to, but I want you to be able to reach more people. So this is what I need you to do. I need you to get this thing set up, and I'm going to start putting strategic things into place so you can get this stuff done that needs to be done. It's not about being just inside the four walls, because I told God, I said, God, I don't want this to just stop right here. Because we have children. We have seven children between the two of us. And I want our kids to be able to move beyond, like you said, it's more than riches, it's wealth. Wealth is transferred. Wealth is transferred.
That's right.
It goes from one thing. That's the reason why I tell people all the time, Queen Elizabeth and them, they ain't rich, they wealthy. They think, but that money been gone, that's old money. That's old money. That money been around for centuries.
It keeps growing.
It's one of the most important things that we have to realize for our kids. And this is what God challenged me with this in my first marriage with my son and my daughter. I heard God say this to me, and it messed me up. And that's how I started that's why I started teaching my kids about finances and how to keep money. The Lord said to me, he said, a man who do not leave an inheritance for his children is worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
That scripture hit me so hard, Apostle. I was like, God Almighty, what is really going on? And he began to show me. In order for these kids to understand about money, you got to show them what money is and show them how to use it. So what I did was I would give my kids an allowance. I would give my kids an allowance. Every payday, they got an allowance. If you did everything you had to do, you got all your grades right, your room was clean, it was stipulations to the money. So you weren't just getting free money. You was getting it because you was working for it. So I told him, I said, let me see your grades. And what your grades look like is depends on your money. So I would give them this money back. And so when I give them the money, the next couple of days or maybe a week, because I would do it every 2 weeks, my next following week, I would ask them. I said, I walk up to them. I said, how much money you got? And my daughter said, I got $7, Daddy. So I give her $7. I said, there you go.
Yeah.
She said, ooh. I said, so she get, I asked my little son, how much money you got? He said, Dad, I got $10. I give him a $10 bill. Here you go. I asked my older son, how much money you got? He said, Dad, I ain't got no money. I said, oh, well. And he looked at me, so I'm not getting no money. Nope. But if you see what I just did to your brother and your sister, you'll catch on. That next following week, I didn't give them no money. I gave them the allowance, but I didn't give them no. But that next following week, I didn't get no money. And then the following week after that, my older son walked up to me. He walked in the room, and he just threw his hands up. He said, what's up, man? I said, what you talking about? He said, what's up? I said, what you talking about, son? He said, man, look, I've been holding on to this 20 since you gave it to me. I'm trying to get this 20 to do the multiply, and you could have been tripping. You ain't gave nobody no money. I said, wait a minute. He said, you gave everybody money. I'm holding on to mine so you can double mine. I'm sitting there, I was like, oh, Lord. And just because he held on to that 20 for as long as he did not, I went on ahead and gave him a 20.
Yeah.
Because I sat there and I said to myself, I said he actually caught on to it and he understood the process. He understood the process. And I told God, I said, I understand now the reason why you put this inside of me to do it, to teach our children. the importance of making sound financial decisions when it comes to money. People think that we run church on and prayer. It don't work on air and prayer. It don't work like that. And I thank God, man, for what God has put inside of you to be able to do. Those of you all under the sound of my voice, y'all make sure that y'all go and check out Apostle Joseph, please. He is on Benmar. Y'all go and check him out and let this man of God teach you how to be financially sound in your decision-making. Amen. Man, look, we're going to continue to broadcast, man. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate you so much, man. We're here. Let us pray for you before you go. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this weapon of warfare that you have placed in our midst. God, the word that he shared on this morning, God, was a word of life, a word of change, a word of shift for those that was under the sound of this man of God's voice. God, the word that penetrated their hearts, God, we thank you for falling and fall on fertile ground. God, that it took root not only just in their hearts, but Lord, in their minds and in their spirit, man. God, we thank you for allowing him to speak life to those, God, who were otherwise, God, not able to be standing, God, and worshiping and praising you. God, you allowed the word through him to cause strength to come to their ankles, Lord, and they're leaping and they're jumping and they're praising you because the word was established inside of them. We thank you for building each and every individual up that was broken, God, that needed to hear the sound doctrine on this morning to cause them to see you for who you really are, and that is their God and their King. Father, we thank you now, God, for restoring back into the man of God that he has poured out to these your people, and we ask that you would elevate him even the more in the word. Elevate him even the more, God, that he'll be able to speak the word and cause those that are under the sound of his voice say, what must I do to be saved? Running to the altar, calling on your name, and asking you to please be a fixer of their problems on this morning. And we thank you, Father God. God, for all things being made well. God, we pray for his family. We pray for his helpmeet, his wife. God, we lift up the woman of God. God, that they are the power couple, God, that you have called them to be. Thank you for connecting them, God. God, in the way you have connected them and strengthening them, God, the way you've strengthened them. God, we pray your everlasting grace and peace over their marriage, God. We thank you, Lord God. God, for a love, God, that will never end, God, that increases every day. God, the girlfriend and boyfriend relationship, God. God, the first time that he ever saw her face, yeah, Lord, there it is right there. God, we thank you, Lord God, for giving her, God, to the man of God and giving him to the woman of God, that they are built up and strengthened, Lord God, in every way. And God, we thank you for them walking together in ministry. God, we thank you for that thing being made well in every way. God, nowhere there's lack in their relationship or in their finances. God, because you're not just able, but Father, you're well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask or say. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, Doc, God bless you. God bless you, man. We love you so much. We appreciate you. Man, we will be having you on the broadcast again. I promise you, we're going to have you on the broadcast. We're getting ready to do some things also as well, man, and I'm going to be connecting with you, and I'll talk with you real soon about that. But we're going to go ahead on, and we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Let your power fall. When your name is called, prove the doubters wrong. God, you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me and help my eyes. that you have won again. Let your power flow. That you have won again. Anybody need the power in here?
We need it.
Come on, let your power fall. When your name is called, will the doubt arise? Every time they talked about me, every time they lied on me, God, you're mighty. This is what I need you to do.
Fight this battle.
Fight this battle for me. Anybody needing the price of battles in here? This is what I need you to do, Lord.
Fight this battle.
I can't do it by myself.
For me.
Yeah, yes. I need you to do it. Fight this battle. That you have won again.
You won.
You have won.
Thank
you. You did it again.
Yeah.
I said you have won again.
You have won again.
You brought me up so many times.
You're a healer.
I didn't even know how I was gonna make it, but oh,
you pulled me through.
You're a winner. Time after time, my hobby could do. You're a champion. You're undefeated.
You won.
Somebody say because you did it for me. Yes. You brought me out. You made a way.
Yes, he did.
Ooh. God, you.
Yeah.
I give you glory. I bless your name.
Why do you give him praise?
Because you're wise. Because you're faithful.
Somebody ought to give him glory.
Glory.
Anybody know he's a winner?
Yes.
Anybody know he's a winner?
Yes. Hallelujah. Thine a glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God, the glory.
Revive.
God, we need you to revive us. I'm going to do it again, Aaron. Hallelujah. Thine the glory.
This song says, God's mercy kept me so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
And overcomers prayer is Romans 10 and 9. And it says to us in Romans 10 and 9, it says, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. This morning, we want to extend to you an invitation. Those of you all that are under the sound of my voice, we don't have to go into a long, drawn out spiel with you about living and giving your life to Christ. Those of you all that are under the sound of my voice this morning, you know where you are. You know what you're in the need of. You know where you need to be. I want to extend to you this opportunity. I want to extend to you this chance to give your life to Christ. Now, it's yours to accept or reject. But we're going to pray a prayer. And we're going to decree the scripture that I just read over your life. And when I get to that passage of scripture, I want you to just receive it. Say, Lord, I receive. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it.
So here in a nutshell is the opportunity for you to give your life to Christ. I want you to receive it or reject it. It's all on you. But I want to extend to you this opportunity. I want to extend to you this chance to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let us pray. Lend me your hearts for a moment. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for these vessels that are under the sound of our voices this morning. God, our prayer is that you would pour into them, God, the thing that they need, the grace that they need, God, the understanding that they need, the healing that they need. Pour into them a new relationship in you. Father, let the words, God, that are pouring out of my mouth not be my words, but be your words that will cause a shift in their life to give unto them, God, the grace and the mercy and the power that they need to walk into where you have called them to walk into. God, wrap your arms of protection around them. Give them to know that even in this, you are yet God and you are yet God all by yourself. And Father, that you are able to keep them and protect them and watch over them and guide them into the place where they need to be. Now, Father, we speak that scripture over their life. God, that the words of their mouth, I'm sorry, that they confess with their mouth that Jesus died and that he was raised from the dead and they are now saved. God, they are now saved. They are now saved. God, thank you for putting them in the safety of your care right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And as they walk into this newness in you, God, God, we pray that you would give them the understanding that in this, you are yet God and you are yet God all by yourself. Father, and give them the ability, Father God, God, to stand in you and know that it is you and you alone that has done this great thing that you have done in and for their lives. God, we pray that you will continue to walk with them. Give them strength, Lord God. Give them wisdom, Lord God. Give them power. Father, as they receive this word of life, we receive this word of hope. Receive this word of wisdom. Receive this word of grace on this morning. God, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you will give unto them, God, that they need to be able to walk in your graces and in your mercies on today. God, we pray on today, God, that you would speak life and speak life more abundantly, not only to them, God, but for them and in them. We thank you for walking with them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray for all of our healthcare workers across this country, every person, every individual, Lord, that is in this place right now that needs a word, that need a strength, that need a power, that need a grace, that needs, God, you to cover and keep them. God, we pray right now that you would strengthen them, God. God, we pray for all of our healthcare workers, our first responders, our police officers, all of our judicial workers, oh Lord God, our mayors, our governors, God, our president and vice president, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, for our country. God, we pray right now that you would put your grace and mercy not only just on them, but over them and in them, that they will see, God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think. And we thank you in advance, Lord God, for your word being made manifest in their lives. In Jesus' mighty and rich name do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, those of you all who that walked into that new relationship in Christ, we have three keys we want to share with you. One, get you a really good Bible. Get you a Bible because you're going to need some, you need a word. You're going to need the word to fight the enemy. So get you a really good Bible. King James, NIV version, get you a really good Bible so you can get your strength up. Secondly, find you a church home. I know right now that it is very difficult for you to find a church because of the pandemic. You can go online. We invite you to join us on the World Wide Web as you go to Facebook and find us on Facebook. We are the pastors of the Abba House International. We are a virtual church. You can join us every Sunday and every Tuesday for service. We have our Sunday service, which starts at 10:30, and we have our Tuesday service
that starts at 7:15. We invite you to come on in and be a part of what God is doing at the Abba House International. Please make sure that you go to Facebook, find us, friend us on Facebook, and we will be glad to be a word of encouragement and a word of strength for you. And the second and the third thing and most important thing is if that person that is preaching the gospel, their lives do not line up with what they are preaching, make sure you do not connect with them. Again, I'm going to say that for the ones in the back. If their life does not line up with what they are preaching, you might want to find you another church. We thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. Those of you all who are under the sound of our voice that would like to sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, please feel free to go to your Cash App. Your Cash App, you can go to $WGC2020. That's WGC2020. Sow into this ministry. We are a ministry that are a ministry of change. We believe in the sowing and reaping of Jesus that Jesus talked about, where we will sow into another man, sow into one field, but you will reap from another place, because the seed that you sow to us, we sow into another man's field. That's how you reap a harvest, because you sowed into us and we sow into them. You reap a harvest from another field because you sowed into us, and we take your seed along with our seed and sow that seed into good fertile ground that you will receive a harvest. Amen. Amen. So listen, we're just excited about what God is saying in this hour and in this time to us. And we thank you for all that you do and partnering up with us. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is brought to you by Core Gift to Give Bath Bomb. Those of you all who would like to have that Calgon take me away moment, that relaxing bath, make sure that you connect with her by going to your email. You can email her at CoraGiftToGifts34@gmail.com. That's CoraGiftToGifts34@gmail.com. You can also go and text her at 832-816-7997. That number again is 832-816-7997. Please make sure that you patronize her. She has some fantastic bath bombs. I am a shower guy. Well, I tried it for the product launch, and I'm telling you, it was the most relaxing bath that I have had. It relaxed every bone in my body, gentlemen. Listen, I'm telling you, ladies, you'll be glad that you did it. Guys, you'll be glad that you bought it for your wives. I'm telling you, some fantastic scents have some fantastic smells, man, and it will for surely bless your life. But we thank you guys so much for pouring a part of today's broadcast. We look forward to you guys tuning in and joining in again on tomorrow for our Testimony Tuesday. And we love you so very much, and we appreciate you, and we look forward to you guys tuning in and being a part of what God is doing in this hour here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We love you, and we ask that God's continual mercy and grace be over your life is our prayer. God bless you. You guys have a fantastic day. Less of me, Lord, in
on, lift your hands and say, Lord.